Hello, everyone. My name is Jody Shanoff, and I'm thrilled to be your host for the third in a series of budget engagement sessions for the City of Mississauga. Joining me this evening are Mississauga Mayor Bonnie Crombie, Ward 3 Councillor Chris Fonseca, and Ward 4 Councillor John Kovac, along with members of the City's leadership team. Before we hear from our speakers, let me start by explaining how a budget engagement session works. Right now, residents from all over Mississauga, including Wards 3 and 4, are answering their phones and connecting to the discussion. We will hear from the mayor and councillors shortly. They're here with other city staff tonight to talk about the city's 2022 budget. After that, it will be your turn. You will have a chance to ask your questions of the mayor, councillors, and staff, and to raise issues that you think are critical to Mississauga's 2022 budget. You can get in line to ask a question at any time by pressing star 3 on your phone keypad. You'll then be put through to an operator who will take down your question and put you in line. For those of you joining us online, please type your question into the question field. If you have a question about the 2022 city budget but don't get a chance to ask it during our session, tonight you can send it to the following email address, budget@mississauga.ca. That's budget@mississauga.ca. Throughout this session, we will also be asking you questions in the form of quick polls. From time to time over the next hour, I will read out a question and some multiple choice responses, and you will be able to use your keypad to respond. Here are a few things to keep in mind when you ask a question tonight. When you press star 3 to ask your questions, you'll be routed to an operator who will ask you to provide your name and the nature of your question. Please try to keep your question as brief as possible. There are a lot of people on the line, and we want to try to get to as many of your questions as possible. Remember to make sure your question is about the 2022 budget and priorities for next year. Finally, if you don't feel comfortable asking your question live, you can tell the operator that you'd like to have your question read out loud by me, the moderator. And remember, you have a few other options to provide your feedback, both by email and through polling questions throughout the evening. Again, my name is Jody, and I'm excited to be your moderator for this budget engagement session with Mayor Crombie, Councillor Fonseca, Councillor Kovac, and staff from the City of Mississauga. It's my job to keep this conversation moving smoothly and to make sure we get to hear your opinions and have as much discussion as possible. Before we start getting to your questions, I'd like to invite the mayor and councillors to say a few words. Mayor Crombie, what would you like Mississauga residents to know about the work going on to prepare the 2022 city budget?
Thank you, Jody, and let me say welcome and thank you to all the residents who are with us tonight who have joined us for this session. I want to first recognize the incredible efforts by all of you, our residents, in helping us navigate the pandemic over the last 18 months by following public health measures and, of course, by getting vaccinated. More than 81% of eligible residents in Peel, that's 12 and over, have now received both doses of the vaccine. And this has been so critical in protecting our hospitals and schools and ensuring that we don't see any more of the blanket closures that devastated our businesses over the last year and a half. If you had told me 2 months ago that case counts would be where they are now, I don't think I would have believed it. But because in July and August, case counts were rapidly rising, and it looked as though this fourth wave was going to completely overwhelm us. But we've been able to limit its impact. And the single biggest reason why is because many of you went out to get the vaccine. The reality is that we still have challenges in front of us. We're not out of the woods yet. I want residents to know that we have a strong recovery plan in place to help our city recover and build back to better. Tonight, I'm joining you to share information on the city's budget and to answer your questions. Despite the challenges of COVID-19, our work never stops to build a more prosperous, sustainable, and forward-thinking city. As we answer your questions on the 2022 budget, you will see that our city is still strong. 2021 forced us to bend, but because we've always been a lean, fiscally responsible city, we didn't break under the pressure that COVID-19 placed on us. At the same time, we realize that money is tight and residents and businesses are struggling to make ends meet. Throughout this pandemic, we've done what we can to support residents and businesses, from deferring property taxes to waiving payment and late fees and temporarily offering free transit to make life easier during these challenging times. This year's budget will be a particularly important one as we continue to work to recover from COVID-19 and build back to better. I want to assure you that we're doing everything in our power to design a budget that's balanced, keeps taxes competitive, keeps services running, and minimizes any impact to the taxpayer. We understand these are challenging times for everyone. And while some of our focus has had to shift to deal with COVID-19, our priorities for you, our residents, remain the same: delivering the right programs and services, demonstrating value for tax dollars, maintaining our infrastructure in a state of good repair, maintaining our current service levels with no material increases to service levels in 2022, and of course, our COVID-19 recovery plans. Over the last year and a half, through thoughtful conversations and consultations, we've had the opportunity to hear from many of our residents, our resident groups, our stakeholders, and of course, our business owners. We understand that COVID recovery, especially as it pertains to budget management, means something different for everyone. We have captured those thoughts and ideas from our previous engagements and are looking forward to sharing more about this process and, most importantly, continuing our conversation with you. Although recovery will be our primary focus in 2022, as a young city that has grown up fast, we have other important priorities as well. This includes continuing to build a global city for creativity and innovation, a vibrant, safe, and connected community. City projects that are currently underway to help us achieve that goal include the Hure Ontario LRT, the light rail, which will bring fast and reliable rapid transit to the city of Mississauga and Brampton along the Hure Ontario corridor. Shovels are in the ground and work is steadily progressing. Improvements to the Lakeshore Transportation Corridor, including the Lakeshore BRT, the Bus Rapid Transit System, a 2-kilometer stretch that will run from the Etobicoke Creek to East Avenue. We're also evaluating options to improve the experience for people traveling along Lakeshore Road and Royal Windsor Drive from East Avenue to the Oakville border. We also have a strategy to transform downtown Mississauga into a vibrant, urban, complete community, a place to live, to work, to learn, to be entertained, to invest, and to raise a family, and of course, most importantly, a place people choose to be. It's also important for us to look ahead and invest in the future to ensure Mississauga continues to be a great city with a high quality of life that residents enjoy today. We understand the importance of appreciating the unique characteristics of our city's well over 20 villages and communities. In Wards 3 and 4, we have Rathwood, Applewood, Rockwood, Mississauga Valleys, City Center, and Dixie. And these are more than just dots on a map. They are complete and thriving communities where residents and visitors go to shop, catch an outdoor concert, dine out, or go on a walk to explore our beautiful trails and neighborhoods. As we continue our recovery, I have no doubt that communities in Wards 3 and 4 will come back stronger than ever before. I understand the need to keep the neighborhoods of Wards 3 and 4 safe, protected, and thriving. And that's why understanding how the city builds and determines its budget is critical. The budget process is transparent and democratic. As residents, you have a say in how we develop it, either through your elected representatives or by getting directly involved in the process. That's why we encourage you to stay connected and engaged in the process. We want to hear from you. Your ward counselors are here this evening to answer your ward-specific questions. From Ward 3, we have Counselor Chris Fonseca. You'll hear from her shortly. And from Ward 4, we are joined by Counselor John Kovac. The city's leadership team is also here to answer your questions, including Paul Mitchum, our city manager and chief administrative officer, Sherry Lichterman, our commissioner of corporate services and chief financial officer, Andrew Whittemore, our commissioner of planning and building, Jody Robillos, acting commissioner in community services, Jeff Wright, our commissioner of transportation and works, and Jeff Jackson, our director of finance and our treasurer. Before I turn things back over to Jody, our moderator, I'd like to invite Councillors Chris Fonseca and Councillor John Kovac to offer some opening remarks. Councillor Fonseca, over to you.
Thank you very much, Mayor Crombie. Good evening, everyone. I'd like to begin by thanking all of the Ward 3 residents, businesses, and organizations who throughout the pandemic in 2020 and into 2021 have been committed to offering so many supports and services both locally and throughout the city of Mississauga and offered input and feedback into our budgeting process. And now in our recovery, and for all of you joining us here this evening from Ward 3, for taking the time to join this budget town hall session, as well as Ward 3 residents and businesses have always been engaged in budget engagement opportunities. I am really looking forward to hearing from you. As Mayor Crombie said, it is extremely important that we hear from all of you in order to make the best decisions for you. I encourage you also, if you don't have the opportunity tonight to get your questions answered or you want more fulsome explanation, to attend our budget committee sessions November 22nd, 23rd, 29th, or 30th at 9:30 a.m. or December 1st at 1:30 p.m. We have a public question period at that time, and you can make sure that you are able to sign on to a deputation or a presentation to ask further questions. And also, I encourage you to take the activity of the budget allocator tool to also go through the exercise of providing your feedback to budget 2022. What I have heard to date from residents and businesses in Ward 3 is that you want us to continue to invest in our green infrastructure, in our parks, in our trails, to ensure that we are providing excellent winter maintenance throughout our city and on our local neighborhood streets, to continue to support local businesses, youth and senior programming in our community centers, and a number one priority, as Mayor Crombie mentioned, is safety in our neighborhood streets, traffic calming, automated speed enforcement, and taking control by collaborating with all orders of government on addressing speed and dangerous driving and complete streets, neighborhood streets that are community focused for all. This includes specifically for Ward 3, the redevelopment of Burnhamthorpe Community Center, redevelopment of parks like Galeaden Park, Garnetwood Park, Birmingham Park, and a whole host of other local neighborhood parks, traffic calming, and full integrated projects like the Bloor Integrated Road Project and Rathburn Pony Trail Integrated Project, and cracking down on speeding and dangerous driving on Cawthra, Burnhamthorpe, Dixie, Bloor, Rathburn, and Tompkin, all which run through the heart of Ward 3. So I'm really looking forward to the questions and the feedback this evening and throughout the budget process so that we as Mayor and Council can make the best possible decisions to optimize your tax dollars to be able to work and live within our means within the city of Mississauga, and at the same time provide the services that you need to keep you resilient through the recovery in our city. You can always contact me at chris.fonseca@mississauga.ca or 905-896-5300. And again, I really look forward to tonight's budget discussion. And back to you, Mayor Crombie.
Thank you, Councillor Fonseca. And why don't we turn it over to Councillor John Kovac for some opening remarks. Councillor Kovac?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. And I'll just take a moment to thank all of the many residents who have joined this evening's tele-budget session. Thank you for being here, and we really do welcome your feedback. It's crucial. It will be very much of benefit to us. And for anybody who's not able to get through this evening, rest assured you can still get a hold of us personally if you'd like to get in touch with myself, john.kovac@mississauga.ca, or alternatively by telephone, 905-896-5400. And to all those residents within Mississauga, particularly within Ward 4, I am extremely excited to hear from you. So, Madam Mayor, why don't you take it from here? Thank you.
Thank you to both councillors. And now back to the moderator. Back to you, Jody. So let's get this session going.
Thanks very much, Mayor Crombie. Thank you, councillors, for your comments. Just a reminder, my name is Jody. I'm pleased to be here with Mayor Bonnie Crombie, Ward 3 Councillor Chris Fonseca, Ward 4 Councillor John Kovac, and staff from the city so that we can talk about the 2022 budget. Just a reminder to our listeners, if you'd like to ask a question live of the mayor or any of our panelists, please dial *3 on your phone keypad and you'll be put into a queue. If you prefer not to ask your question live, the operator will take your question and I would be happy to ask it on your behalf. Those of you who are listening to us online can type questions into the comments field and we will ask your questions live that way. So please do take advantage of those channels to speak with our panelists this evening. We're talking about your priorities tonight as the city prepares the budget for 2022, and in a very short while, we're going to get to those live questions. In addition to hearing questions directly from you, we have the ability in this budget engagement session to do quick polls. So let's do one together now. I'm going to ask a question and then read out a few possible answers. You choose the one that best reflects your opinion by pressing the number on your phone keypad that corresponds to the answer. Please listen to all of the answers before you make your selection. Here's my first question. Of the following, which city service is most important to you and your family? If it's libraries, press 1. For transit, press 2. For roads, cycling paths, and infrastructure, press 3. For recreation programs, press 4. And for parks, green spaces, and trails, press 5. Again, the question is, of the following, which city service is most important to you and your family? If it's libraries, press 1. For transit, press 2. For roads, cycling paths, and infrastructure, press 3. For recreation programs, press 4. And for parks, green spaces, and trails, press 5. We'll have another poll question for you later, so look for that coming up in a few minutes. A reminder to our listeners, we'd love to hear from you. We'd love to hear your questions. Please dial *3 on your phone keypad so that we can get you into a queue and hear your question and have it answered by the mayor and councillors and staff here this evening. I will go to the first question. Mayor Crombie, the question came to us online, and it is the following. How is the city managing the deficit from the pandemic?
Oh, and that is a great question, and we thank you for that. And let me just assure all our residents that Mississauga is strong. We are extremely fiscally responsible. And please remember that we are the only level of government that is not able to run a deficit. And as a result, we're also the only level of government that had to lay off some of our employees during COVID. So the city has been faced with significant deficits in 2020, about $55.5 million. And in 2021, it's currently projected that we may face another operating deficit of $64.5 million. But the city staff, including our council, have taken measures to mitigate those pressures, including, there are a number of things that we did. We We implemented a hiring freeze. As I mentioned, we laid off a number of workers. We cut our discretionary spending, and we had to defer some of our capital spending as well on the infrastructure side. So these were done to offset some of those pressures. As well, we received safe restart funding from provincial and federal governments to really assist us with that operating deficit. And I'm going to pass it on now to our city manager, Paul Mitchum, who'd like to go over some of the other ways that we mitigated that operating deficit in the year of COVID of 2020 and how we plan to do so again in 2021. Paul, over to you.
Thank you, Mayor Crombie. You've provided a fulsome response, but just a few thoughts crossed my mind to let the listeners know that really during the past 18 months, in addition to dealing with COVID, we've worked really hard to maintain services while protecting the public and employees from COVID, and at the same time working to reduce cost to offset the revenue losses that Mayor Crombie referred to. So in addition to the measures that you have outlined, Mayor Crombie, we have in addition redeployed staff in some cases, to essential frontline services. I'm thinking of enforcement and our 311 call-taking service. We have, in addition, transitioned the team to work from home. I've been very successful, virtual public meetings, virtual council meetings, and able then to maintain our development approval process. Quite proud that we have been able to maintain that process. And in fact, in 2020, we more than doubled our expected budget for development approvals in 2020, and all through virtual measures. We are continuing to review all requests to fill vacant positions. And in addition, and finally, I have asked the leadership team to focus on cost reduction and where possible to accelerate good new ideas, moving forward. So those are some of the additional measures, and I'm going to pass it back to the moderator.
Thank you very much. Thank you to residents of Mississauga and Wards 3 and 4 who are joining us this evening for this budget engagement session. Please ask us your questions. Dial *3 on your phone keypad, and you can get into the queue to either ask your question live or ask to have it read aloud. Those of you who are listening to us online can also submit your questions in the comments field on screen. Our next question has come from an online participant in tonight's session from Ward 3. And the question, is as follows. Gypsy moths continue to destroy the tree canopy in our neighborhood and neighborhoods all along the Little Etobicoke Creek and Etobicoke Creek. We've invested thousands of dollars to protect our trees to no avail. Will the city strategy to address these invasive species include providing residents with traps free of charge, continue tree injection treatments and ground spray, as well as now adding aerial spray?
Well, that is a very complex question, and we have some good news on that front. And let me just suggest that this isn't a problem that's plaguing only Ward 3. We've seen the gypsy moth issue in Wards 1, 2, 3, 5, 6, 8, 9, quite a number of our wards, anywhere where there's a large tree canopy, in fact. And we know that staff will be bringing a report to council very soon, which will include many recommendations. But Councillor Chris Fonseca has done a lot of work on this issue. So, Councillor Fonseca, would you like to respond to the resident, please?
Sure. Thank you so much, Mayor Crombie, and thank you to the Ward 3 resident who submitted this question. As Mayor Crombie said, this is an issue that is devastating a number of wards. And I first off would like to thank all of the residents from Ward 3 who, going back to 3 or 4 years, have reported to me through to myself and also to city staff the issues that they have been facing with the gypsy moths. I encourage residents to continue to report to the MAP, the tools that are available on the city website. And I would also like to say that, to answer your question, forestry staff have confirmed that they will continue to take take counts of egg massing that is occurring within neighborhoods. They will continue to provide tree injection treatments and ground spray. And I know that in Applewood, along the Little Etobicoke Creek, specifically Beach Hollow, River Spray, Blue Stream, also around Burnthorpe Community Center and JC Park, Galeeden, Havenwood, Glen Rutley Circle, Haven Glen, just to name a few, River Mill Way, Lookout Court, and then along Rathburn Road. Because you have reported issues, forestry staff have been able to get out and provide the tree injection treatments and ground spray, not only on public trees, but to identify where there is an issue also on your private property to ensure that we're providing and supporting a strategy that will provide you not only the traps at the appropriate time, which is in the spring, but also will contribute to an aerial spray program. We do have a report that's being brought back in November with a recommendation for aerial spray, and I will be supporting that, as Mayor Crombie was saying, council and a number of councillors who have confirmed that they will be supporting that the aerial spray program as a part of the strategy to address this. So I'm not sure if Acting Commissioner Jody Robolos wants to add anything further, but just to let Ward 3 residents know that I am full support of collaborating to address this both on the public and the private side for residents in the community. Back to you, Mayor Crombie, or to Jody.
Thank you, Councillor Fonseca. That was a great response. And to Mayor Crombie's point, this is not an issue that's isolated to one ward. So forestry staff will be bringing a report forward in November. I encourage all residents to go online, and on the city's website, we have some great information around things that you can do on your own property as well. And this is the time of year where we should be scraping the egg masses off the trees in order to prevent infestation for next year. So our staff are out there. We need help from members of the public, and this is really a team event. So thank you very much. Back to you, Jody.
Thanks very much. If you're just joining us, I'm Jody Shanoff, and I'm your moderator this evening. I'm joined by Mississauga Mayor Bonnie Crombie, Ward 3 Councillor Chris Fonseca, Ward 4 Councillor John Kovac, and members of the city's leadership team. Everyone's here to answer your questions about the city's budget for 2022. Please don't forget, press star 3 on your phone keypad, and that way you can get put into the queue to ask your questions live. If you prefer to have your question read aloud, you can indicate that, and we'll do that on your behalf. Our next question comes to us from a caller live. Kathy's on the line, and Kathy has a question about density in Mississauga. Kathy, go ahead with your question.
Thank you for taking my call. I just have a quick question with regards to the infrastructure. Is that how we're going to support? Because every time on Highway 10 in Eglinton especially, the set number of condo towers that were once there, I think were 2, now it's gone up to 4. Highway 10 is a mess of traffic as it is right now. It's very congested, so with even a higher density in that area, what plans are in the works to try and alleviate some of the stresses that will be put on that area?
Thank you for the comprehensive question, and I do agree. There's a lot of density coming into Mississauga. We call that uptown at Eglinton and here, Ontario, and then in the downtown, we have 25 towers being built in the next 5 years, and there's a plan for another at least 35 over the next 30 years. And we see new developments on the waterfront, both at Brightwater and at Lakeview, and a lot of changes occurring. And of course, we have a plan in Mississauga that's called Mississauga Moves to keep Mississauga moving. And of course, I know you're aware of the 18-kilometer, 19-stop here, Ontario LRT, which will help immensely. BRT plans, bus rapid transit plans along Lakeshore and on Dundas, and there is the bus rapid transit way currently open now, 18 kilometers, that's parallel to the 403. So those are some of the provisions that we have put in place to accommodate that new density that is coming into our city. But I am going to turn it over to two of our commissioners who I know would like to comment about this as well. Jeff Wright, who is our Commissioner of Transportation and Works, and also Andrew Whittemore, Commissioner of Planning and Building. So Jeff, why don't you kick it off and then pass it over to Andrew for further comment. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Mayor Crombie. This is Jeff Wright speaking from Transportation and Works. And so I would echo a lot of those comments, Mayor Crombie, you've made in response to Kathy's question around, you know, how we're managing growth and the impacts that creates from a transportation perspective. So in transportation, we work very closely with our colleagues in planning, and I'll let Andrew talk about that process in terms of, you know, growth forecasts and how we manage and assign density. But really, we deal with the impacts of that in terms of managing growth and congestion in our network. So, Mayor Crombie, you've mentioned a number of different initiatives that the city is working on to provide transportation capacity from a rapid transit perspective. So, you know, here in Ontario, LRT, which is coming online in the late fall 2024, currently under construction now. So that will be one avenue in terms of managing growth, in terms of people movement along the corridor. You know, you mentioned also, Mayor Crombie, a couple of other rapid transit projects that the city is working on. A lot of work in our downtown around looking at how bringing back things like the LRT loop or looking at transit alternatives through the relocation of our downtown transit terminal. You mentioned Dundas, you mentioned Lakeshore. Part of it, though, Mayor Crombie, is around MyWay and how we're responding to ridership changes and how we will be sort of matching service planning to areas where we're seeing growth in the network around MyWay as we come out of the COVID pandemic, hopefully, and look to build back ridership along MyWay. From a traffic management perspective, we are looking at road safety, as was indicated earlier on in the introduction, really around Vision Zero with things like automated speed enforcement, traffic calming that we're investing in, and really how we're managing the traffic on our network. We're not expanding roads or building new road capacity. That's being met through transit and developments in active transportation. But we are looking to manage that through things like our advanced transportation management system, where we are trying to maximize the capacity through our major corridors, through optimization of our traffic signals. So that's just a bit of a snapshot of how we're managing the transportation impacts of growth. And with that, perhaps, Andrew, you can talk about the planning aspects of that.
Thanks, Jeff. Just quickly, the province of Ontario assigns each city various amounts of growth. So we anticipate and understand what the growth, both in population and employment, will be up until 2055 is where we plan to. And so the way we manage planning in the city is through the official plan, which outlines a vision for all the various neighborhoods and communities and outlines how and where growth is going to occur. We're actually undertaking a review of the official plan currently, so I would definitely encourage the person that's asked this question to go to our website and certainly find out what's been happening and answer some of our surveys. And with that, back to you, Jody.
Thanks very much. A reminder to our listeners tonight, you can ask a question of Mayor Crombie, Councillor Fonseca, Councillor Kovac, any of the city staff to provide additional information tonight when you press *3 on your phone keypad, and you'll be able to get into a queue to ask your question. You can also type it into the comments field if you're listening to us online, and that will be read on your behalf. Our next question was submitted online. It's from a resident of Ward 4, and they ask the following: what's happening with Central Library? Is it closed? If so, when will it open, and is it part of a revitalization project?
That's a great question. We have some very exciting plans for our Central Library, including renaming it the Hazel McCallion Central Library. And I think Councillor Kovac would probably like to explain what's going on there since it's in his ward. Councillor Kovac, over to you.
Thank you very much, Mayor Crombie. And to all those who are listening, especially the questioner, Central Library has not been renovated in the 30 years that it has existed, having first opened in 1991, if you can believe. And so utilizing money that was approved in past budgets, so not looking at anything currently, the Central Library was closed with renovation commencing on March 20th of this year, earlier this year, with an expected completion date of 2023. So it's about a 2.5, it's almost 3-year period. What it is going to do, this revitalization project, is meet the growing demands within our city center and downtown area of Mississauga, where we're seeing so many more people come into this area and call it their home, and the changing business priorities as well. What's fascinating really is that there will be upgraded technology when all is said and done throughout the building, and it will offer more self-serve options as well. The mayor referenced earlier that this year a motion that had come forward, which she had proposed and which was excitedly passed at council, to rename Central Library Hazel McCallion Central Library. And this is going to be part of the overall work that's going into to complete and jazz up and revitalize this Central Library. 5 floors in total, including the basement and the breezeway, that's the path connecting the glass pavilion to the actual building, including the glass pavilion and even the Noel Ryan Auditorium, will all be renovated. 28,000 square feet restored, with an additional 6,000, which will exist on the fourth floor, taking the overall square footage up to 34,000 for Mississauga Central Library. It goes without saying, we're very excited. All those who live within the downtown area are excited. And for those in the interim who need an option, we have a small pop-up where you can browse and you can head to at the Living Arts Center, like a pop-up library. And you can also arrange for a hold or hold pickup at a library nearby, such as the Mississauga Valley Library, the Burnham Thorpe Library in Ward 3, Cooksville Library in Ward 7, or the Woodlands Library. Thank you very much again for your question.
Thank you very much. Listeners can ask their questions live this evening of Mayor Crombie, councillors from Wards 3 and 4, as well as city staff, by pressing star 3 on your phone keypad. So please do get in the queue and ask us your question. Our next question was called in by June. June's asked that I read the question aloud on her behalf, and she asks, what aspects of the budget are addressing mitigation of climate change? Madam Mayor.
A very pressing issue, and I'll kick it off and then pass it over to Jody Robelos as well. So as we know, climate change is one of those pressing issues, and we need to take action, and everyone needs to take action, including municipal governments. No one is immune from the effects of climate change, and we see, especially municipalities, the effects regularly, whether it's frequent flooding, extreme heat or extreme cold. And of course, our infrastructure must be adapted to the new reality. And we also must do our part to reduce GHGs. So I'm very proud that we joined the Global Covenant of Mayors in 2018, and we declared a climate emergency in June of 2019. We passed our first comprehensive climate change action plan in December of 2019 as well. And there are 2 main goals under the plan: the goal of mitigation, to reduce our GHGs by 80% by 2050. And the second goal is adaptation, to increase our resilience and the capacity of the city to withstand and, of course, respond to future climate events. So to address our first goal of reducing greenhouse gas emissions, we're particularly focused on our 2 largest emitting sectors, buildings and transportation. And buildings are our largest source of community emissions. Some immediate examples of action that we have taken include designing a home retrofit program, updating our green development standard for new developments, and implementing our corporate green building standard for our own buildings. Emissions from the transportation sector are the second largest source of GHG emissions in Mississauga. And some immediate examples of actions that we've taken include approval of the greening of our fleet, our equipment policy, that includes piloting an electric lawn vehicles and crew, installing public EV charging stations, and buying low-emission buses for our transit fleet. To address our second goal, of adaptation, and to ensure that we adapt to a climate change, we need to focus on advancing our green infrastructure and our stormwater management efforts. Some of the initiatives that we have taken include our 1 million tree program, installing low impact developments across Mississauga to emphasize conservation and use on-site natural features to protect our water quality. And we also implemented a stormwater charge in 2016 to generate the necessary funding for our ongoing stormwater system management and investment. And Jody, you probably have a few things to add. Over to Jody Robelos, our acting commissioner of community services. Jody, over to you.
Thank you, Mayor Crombie. Just wanted to add, you did a great job at summarizing everything that we've done. One thing that we're doing right now is we're asking residents to go online with a project that we have called Project Neutral. And it's an online carbon footprint calculator for Mississauga residents. And it helps residents determine individually in their own homes how they can reduce their greenhouse gases and their emissions on daily activities. So please visit the Project Neutral site, and Mississauga has its own section in there, and help us reduce our greenhouse gas emissions. Thanks, and back to you, Jody.
Thanks very much. Please don't forget to press *3 on your phone keypad so that you can get in a line and ask a question of our panel this evening, questions on the topic of the 2022 city budget. Our next question has come in online from a resident in Ward 3, and I'll read it. It says, it's great to see the redevelopment of Burnthorpe Community Center coming along. I attended the virtual session and wanted to thank you for the opportunity to ask questions. Two questions. Will there be another community meeting? Will there continue to be free programming space for different groups, for example, youth and seniors? Hand that over.
This is a project that's near and dear to Councillor Fonseca's heart, so I'm going to ask her to respond. Councillor Fonseca.
Thank you very much, Mayor Crombie, and thank you so much to the resident who took the time to submit the questions and attend the virtual session that was hosted, I believe it was last week, lost track now, that was specific to programming. A very well attended session. Thank you so much to all of the staff involved in putting that session together to be able to address and answer the questions that were brought up with regards to programming once Burnhamthorpe Community Center reopens. And thank you to this caller specifically for taking the time to attend. First off, I would like to say that the questions, and there were many of them, I think there were over 30 that were brought up, and ideas as well that were at the virtual meeting. These will all be posted, I can confirm, on the project website at mississauga.ca, and you simply search Burnhamthorpe Community Center renovation, and you will, all the questions that residents took the time to ask at the virtual presentation on programming will be posted, answers to those questions will be posted there. There is a survey, an online survey that is available now through to October 19th that specifically focuses in on the type of programming residents would like to see when the center reopens in 2023. So this would be a perfect opportunity for this caller and others to be able to complete the survey, even if they did attend the virtual meeting, to ask questions or to provide input and feedback on specific free programming for youth and seniors or other types of programming. So again, the survey can be found online at mississauga.ca and by searching Burnham Thorpe Community Center renovations. You can also email questions through to my office at chris.fonseca@mississauga.ca. To confirm when the center reopens, I have requested and staff have confirmed that there will continue to be free initiatives for youth, such as Sauga at Play drop-in programs, such as basketball, a free programming space that exists in the sort of the reimagined programming, general programming space, as well as a variety of older adult groups at Burnham Thorpe Community Center that are being accommodated at other community centers right now will continue to receive access to free space for their programming. And recreation will also continue to offer programming at a variety of price points dependent on the program. And we do have in the city of Mississauga an assistance program to support families who may require additional assistance. Again, never hesitate to reach out to my office or directly to the project website to provide your questions and feedback. And please fill out the survey at mississauga.ca, Burnham Thorpe Community Center, so that we can be providing the programs and the services and also at a realistic price point or a free opportunity through programming that will meet your needs. I'm not sure if the Acting Commissioner Jody Robolos would like to add anything further to that, but I want to thank the resident for the question, and we want to hear from you on what programming you would like to see at Burnham Thorpe Community Center. So either over to you, Jody, or back to Mayor Crombie. Thank you.
I think we can pass that back to the moderator. You did such a wonderful job explaining all the initiatives. Thank you, Councillor Fonseca. Back to you, Jody Shanoff.
Thank you very much. Henry is in the queue next. Henry submitted a question live that he's asked that we read, and it says the following. Why do they charge parking fees for people who are residents of Mississauga for recreational activities? Madam Mayor.
Yeah, it's a great question, Henry, and Mississauga is growing up, and real estate has a price, frankly, and so we can't offer free parking any longer in our city, but we do keep it as modest as possible. And I'm going to ask our Commissioner of Transportation and Works, Jeff Wright, to speak about the parking issue, if I can. Jeff, over to you.
Yeah, thanks, Mayor Crombie, and great question, Henry, in terms of why we charge for parking. I think one of your comments was why in recreational areas do we charge for parking? So just to kind of, you know, build on that a bit, you know, really the introduction of paid parking is really to deal with, you know, the urbanization of Mississauga and as we continue to grow and evolve and become more dense. And part of that is managing demand for parking. And so, you know, the best way to do that is to charge for parking. And that gives people an ability to ensure that there is parking available when people wish to use that piece of infrastructure. Think of it, you know, in terms of parking, you know, think of it on a main street in front of a business. If there was no paid parking, those parking spaces would be in use 24/7. With paid parking as an example in place, it ensures that there's a sufficient turnover of parking spaces so people have availability to shop local, et cetera. You did mention recreational activities. I weren't sure if you were seeking some clarification around our community centers. Right now, our parking is free in our community centers, and our paid parking environment is mostly contained in sort of our downtown and our VIA locations. But we also use revenue that's generated from paid parking to look at investments in future parking infrastructure, such as parking garages or other parking facilities, to manage a lot of the growth that we're discussing tonight around, you know, population increases, commercial activities that are happening in urban areas. So that's a bit of background on why we charge for parking. And you can always find more information on the city's website around parking in Mississauga. And I will leave it there and back to you, Jody.
Thanks very much. Our next question has come in from a resident of Ward 4. It's online, and the question is as follows. Is there a fire station in Ward 4?
This is something of great interest to Councillor Kovac, and the quick answer is not yet, but we're looking for real estate. Councillor Kovac, why don't you explain what the work that's been done on the issue of a fire station in Ward 4?
Thanks kindly, Mayor Crombie. For those who are interested, and I have had this question asked of myself a number of times, most recently last week, why there is technically not a fire hall in Ward 4. And what Mayor Crombie said is exactly the fact. We are exploring opportunities where land and a potential allocation of a fire hall might be appropriate, such as Cawthra and Dundas, that general area, as well as Mavis and Dundas. A lot of things would be looked into through such exploratory, let's say, talks. But I will share with you the fact that Station 101 headquarters is on Here, Ontario, and Fairview, which is right across the street from Ward 4, and that does provide vital service to Ward 4 and parts of Cooksville and the downtown Cooksville area, which Ward 4 does share. In addition to the fact, there is a fire hall called 120 that was, and it's our newest fire station, was constructed within the last couple of years on Eglinton Avenue, west of Here, Ontario, just east of Kingsbridge Garden Circle on the north side. And that is to provide much needed service to that area that was spoken about a little bit earlier in today's session, the uptown node with many of those buildings that are going in. So it's something that we're going to continue to look into as a city. And I thank you kindly for your question.
Thanks very much. Our next question was also submitted online, Madam Mayor, and it is the following. What are you doing about the increasing coyote population in Mississauga?
Well, this is also a very important issue for our residents, as we have anecdotally seen an increase in the coyote population in Mississauga. However, the exact numbers aren't tracked, and we know that they're constantly changing because, of course, the coyotes move, and that their size and the transient nature of their territories with them moving around. So we don't know whether their numbers are growing or not. But Animal Services, and we're going to ask certainly Jeff Wright to comment on this shortly, they have a coyote management strategy that puts public and community safety first. It's focused on education and awareness, coexistence, and addressing the wildlife feeding, which is central to most of the coyote issues. Animal Services is proactive in the community outreach, and they perform information sessions, mail-outs, door-to-door information, drop-offs, host presentations. I know that many of the councillors have hosted sessions as well. But the coyote activity has become more prominent due to some human factors such as wildlife feeding, construction, a loss of their natural habitat as because of urban expansion. And our council recently approved enhancements to the Animal Services Coyote Management Program back in April of this year, which outlined the structure of the city's coyote incident response and broadened and strengthened the bylaw regulating wildlife feeding. Animal Services track and monitor all the reported encounters with coyotes and actively investigates and patrols areas where there are unwanted coyote activity, and has also identified and offers education and awareness to the surrounding community. So staff will undertake proactive, adversive conditioning of subject coyotes when necessary in an effort to address the consequences of food conditioning. So Animal Services, the Coyote Management Program, has proven effective in mitigating coyote-human incidents. However, should coyote matters ever escalate to the point of unprovoked human bite attacks, the program will also provide for trapping and removal services if necessary. Jeff, maybe you want to comment a little further on any of this, because I know this is a very important issue to many of our residents. Jeff Wright, over to you.
Thanks, Mayor Crombie, and you're right. It is a very important issue and one that is very prevalent in the community when people certainly see and react to coyote sighting. So, Mayor Crombie, you did mention back in April of 2021, so earlier this year, Mississauga Animal Services did present a report with some recommendations on an enhanced coyote management strategy. And so this program, you know, outlined a way that our animal services team will try to minimize conflicts between coyotes and people, and more specifically, including their pets. So the enhancement program really focused on three primary areas. One was around, you know, wildlife feeding, and Mayor Crombie, you've talked about that. You know, people out there feeding, you know, birds, other animals, and even feeding coyotes. So that really has an impact on the presence of coyotes in a neighborhood. The program also talks about responding to unwanted coyote activity. So, you know, that's everything from, you know, sightings of when someone sees a coyote, and we encourage all residents to report coyote sightings on the city's online interactive coyote sighting map. And that's available with a quick search of on the web browser for that. And it's from sightings to, you know, when coyotes are encountered, whether that's someone out for a walk or with their pets, dealing with incidents, you know, when things start to escalate, you know, when there's coyotes, you know, when they do attack pets, that kind of stuff. So we have a strategy of how we will be responding to that, Mayor Crombie, and to the question earlier. And you did mention, you know, the highest level of that escalation and response would be going in and dealing with the coyote itself, whether that's a trapping and removal program on a worst-case scenario. And then finally, it is about education and community involvement. So our animal services officers do go out and do campaign and interact with residents about how to coexist with coyotes within our natural setting, but then also, you know, how to deal with different aspects through escalations as part of our overall management strategy. So that's a bit of an overview of how we manage coyotes and how we plan to do so going forward. And with that, Jody, I'll turn it back to you.
Thank you. Our next question came online from Henry. Henry asks, will the owner of the residence who renovates, many are illegal without permits, be charged higher property tax for rooming six or seven tenants? What action should be taken for these irresponsible owners?
So it's a complex question as well, and I'm going to ask both Andrew and Jeff to comment on it, but certainly rooming houses are illegal. We can only have, only family members in a house with that number of bedrooms, and so property taxes are driven by MPAC assessments, not us. So charging those residents higher taxes is not something the city is able to do. But I'm going to pass it on to Andrew and to Jeff to comment as well. Andrew?
Thanks, Mayor Crombie. Yes, so boarding houses are not something that we currently permit in the city of Mississauga. Housing is regulated by something we call the zoning bylaw, which is very prescriptive in terms of what can and should happen. When we hear of a violation, such as the person that the question is describing, we would send typically a bylaw enforcement officer out to investigate to determine, in fact, the property is of illegal use. If we catch them while they're building it, then we can issue a stop work order. If it's after the fact, it's more challenging, and that would certainly involve Jeff's team as an ongoing monitoring of that situation. So with that, maybe I'll have Jeff speak to this in a little bit.
Thanks, Andrew. And yeah, no, I think you've summarized quite well in terms of the process around sort of illegal units. Secondary suites, though, are legal, and you know, there is a process for, you know, that those secondary suites must meet the Ontario Building Code, the Ontario Fire Code, and more importantly, the zoning bylaw requirements. And so, you know, those can be registered. And I think the question asks, you know, what should one do if they suspect a rooming house? And what I would recommend would be calling 311, reporting that. And as Andrew mentioned, you know, we would send bylaw enforcement out to have a look and investigate and take the appropriate actions upon that investigation. So, you know, I would recommend reporting that through 311. So back to you, Jody.
We're coming to the end of our time together this evening. Mayor Crombie, do you have any closing thoughts to share with our audience regarding tonight's budget engagement session?
Thank you, Jody. Well, boy, tonight went by quickly, and I want to thank everyone for their thoughtful questions and the discussion this evening. If the last year and a half has taught us anything, it's that we, when we come together as a city, as a province, and as a country, we can overcome any of the challenges before us. But before we ring in 2022, we have a lot of work to do. And my fellow members of council, the leadership team, and all city staff are committed to remaining strong, focused, and determined to make the remainder of this year and 2022 a resounding success. There are many ways that you can stay informed on the budget process. You can find a wealth of information on our website at mississauga.ca/budget. And also, if you have a question or comment about the budget, we welcome your emails at budget@mississauga.ca. And we also encourage you to keep up to date on the budget discussion by following the city on either Facebook or Twitter. Finally, you can watch upcoming budget committee meetings, which are live streamed and on our website at mississauga.ca and archived for future viewing. And again, thank you for taking the time tonight to join our budget engagement session. Have a lovely evening. Good night.